Get out. I'm not sure how polite to be with that. If I can ask one of the brothers sitting there at the back, if you can just make sure that door stays closed, so no single or campus. Okay, Paul, can you switch the lights off? Okay, you guys all in the book of Song of Songs, in chapter 2 is where we're going to start off. But before that, my introduction, let's start with a prayer. Holy God and Father, we are so grateful to be together as married from all over Southern Africa. Different cultures, different backgrounds, different histories, different issues. And I pray, God, this morning that you will use Anamri and myself to convict us of what you expect in our physical relationships. That you've given us a whole book in the Bible on this topic. I pray, God, that your Spirit will move and that we will walk out here just closer to one another. And I pray that your word will change our perception and our view of what sex should and can be. We ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, before we get to Song of Songs, in Proverbs 5, the Bible says in verse, the first couple of verses, of course, Solomon, who was his father? David, King David. Okay, even though he was a man after God's own heart, he had some issues, right? And so Solomon writes this book, Song of Songs, because he had learned from some bad experiences. His father was adulterous. David, right? Don't look at me, it's like I'm not a new teaching. So Solomon grew up in a household where there was immorality, there was adultery. And he gives us this advice on what it should be like. He experienced the consequences of a parent that was immoral. And the first couple of verses there in Proverbs chapter 5, the Bible warns us to stay as far away as possible from immorality. Right? And then in verse 15 he says, drink water from your own cistern, running water from your own well. Should your springs overflow in the streets? Your streams of water in the public squares? Let them be yours alone, never to be shared with strangers. May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. A loving doe, a graceful deer, may her breast satisfy you always. May you ever be captivated by her love. Why be captivated, my son, by an adulteress? Why embrace the bosom of another man's wife? You know, as a church, we have done very well in teaching what not to do. Right? We've heard many sermons on adultery, immorality, impurity. We've memorized those scriptures. We know those passages. And we know how serious God feels about it. Amen? Amen. He says, stay far away from it. Don't even go. Don't even walk past her house or her office. Stay far away. But as a church, we have not really talked about what is allowed in the bedroom. What is God? What is the freedom that God gives us in the bedroom? Again, if there's any singles, here's your last chance. Don't blame me when you are falling by lunchtime. You know, we all come from different backgrounds. Some of us grew up very conservative, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it comes with its consequences. When sex was a taboo topic for you, your parents never talked to you about it, and you were never allowed to talk about it. That brings in its consequences, right? Then some of us, we have had some really bad experiences. Maybe you were molested, abused, maybe some of us even raped. And those things have some consequences in the married life. And so today I want you to be convicted by what does God say about sex. God made man, God created woman, and God made us in order to be able to have sex. So today we're going to talk about the five senses of romantic love. And the fact that we need to be grounded, our romance needs to be grounded in the Word of God, not the You magazine or some site on the internet. There are some great books and some great advice out there. But let me tell you, there is no hotter book on sex than the Bible. And the fact that you haven't read it or picked it up, it's not God's fault. It's been there for many, many years. Okay? So, our first sense is sound. Close your eyes.
Thanks for the times that you've given me.
Close your eyes.
The memories are all in my mind.
Think about your honeymoon. Maybe you had one a month ago.
That we've come to the end of.
In Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 14, what's wrong with these campus guys? We'll compete with them in about an hour's time. Chapter 2, verse 14, it says, my dove in the clefts of the rock, in the hiding places of the mountainside, show me your face. Let me hear your voice. For your voice is sweet, and your face is lovely. You know, seeing that we've gone through DBA, and Dave is in town, I need to explain to you that Song of Songs is a lot of symbolic language. Not apocalyptic, but symbolic language, okay? So when it talks about water, he's not really talking about water. When he's talking about mountain cliffs, he's not talking about a trip in the mountainside. Okay? When he talks about honey and milk, it's not really, it's not what he's talking about. If you mix the honey and the milk, it's what it looks like. Sounds of love. God used words to create the universe out of nothing. He didn't have atoms or this or that. He created everything we see and even haven't seen out of nothing by speaking words. Words are powerful. Powerful. We need to use words to create a great sex life in the marriage. Words to redeem, to intensify, enhance, and fill the room with fire. Words give sex its context, its meaning, its power, and its atmosphere. There are words, you know, what words do we read about in Song of Songs? 50 out of the 117 verses are words of endearment that the lover, the husband and the wife exchange to one another. 50 out of the 117. He says, woman, the woman refers to her husband as beloved 27 times. You are the one, my soul lover, 5 times. Husband says, my darling, 9 times. My bride, 6 times. My sister, my dove, my perfect one. What words do you use? Words of praise and compliment are made up. This book is made up of words of praise and compliments. The man complimenting his wife and the wife complimenting her husband. Not just when you want to have sex. It's amazing how humble men can become. And how nice and polite men can become when they're in the mood. Do not compare your spouse to a movie star. Because they will never live up to that. And that's what's so wrong about pornography. Is they're always perfect on the internet site or the magazine or whatever. Your wife cannot, or your husband cannot compete, husbands either. Right? We don't have the time to look like that. Desire is kindled to a burning flame by words in this book. Love's fire must be tended to just like a fire. Like a fire that needs oxygen, our physical relationship needs words. And you know, let's be honest, gents. Sometimes we can just, even in this modern day and age, we can still act like cavemen. In our caves, called our bedrooms. He says, one glance from his wife got him going. One glance. My heart begins to pound, he says. He faints with love. She tells this to her friends. And of course, he hears it later. That's how she feels about her husband. Words of invitation. You know, even though the Bible says, like Justin mentioned, 1 Corinthians 7, early on, that my body belongs to Anna Marie, her body belongs to me. That's good news. And even though sex is an expectation in the marriage, it shouldn't stay there. We should invite it with words, not just chabara. Hey. Never take this for granted. Sometimes for men, you know, if, I don't know, whatever your routine is, sometimes 4, 5, 6 days have gone by and nothing has happened. And so now, by now you just assume she is obviously in the, it should be obvious to her. Hey, it's been 5 or 6 days now, or maybe for some of you guys, 5 or 6 hours. Don't assume that your spouse knows you're in the mood. Okay, and I'm just going to share.
Amen. Well, since we're all vulnerable here, I am the more conservative one. And so it was very good for me to study out this book and to study it out with my husband. And to understand that God has a godly view of intimacy. Because I think growing up conservative, I didn't feel godly in the beginning. And I mean, we've been married 17 years now. There's still times I feel like, is this real? And my uncomfortability comes natural. And so it helps. And sometimes I do tell Ivor, I said, you read the wrong book. It's like it's in the Bible. I've got the wrong book in the Bible. You're reading that. And so we're not there. We're growing and learning with you guys. Just please get that. So there's no questions afterwards. We're growing with you. But we're talking about words of invitation. And I think for many women, this is more of a challenge. Depending on your background, but I think for most of us, we've got to understand, if you imitate this woman in the Song of Songs, and we decide that I'm going to start inviting my husband, I think Jay made a great point earlier, don't just be available, which available is no problem, but invitation is a little bit more giving and challenging for some of us. And so we've got to understand, we cannot let our idea of modesty and shyness rob our marriage from an incredible intimate relationship. Because we all desire intimacy as women. But this is part of getting that emotional connection and intimacy is us being willing to put our shyness and to put our modesty ideas aside and think, I'm investing in my marriage. This is the only man in my life I will ever invite. It's not like we're cheapening ourselves. Because I think sometimes those things go through your mind, but this is so cheap, and I don't want to be like this kind. Because there's words or images that you've seen when you grew up in movies or what that you're like, that's inappropriate. And those things flash through our mind when you start thinking of, I've got to invite and lure him. It's godly to do it when we decide to change our own mind. So we've got to be confident and know that God made us able to invite our spouses. We have the body he desires. And this body belongs to him. So the invitation is there, but we've got to also issue the invitation. And I think as women, we've got to understand many times for our husbands, it is appealing when a wife is a little bit sexually more aggressive, not just willing and waiting. That you do think and you do pray and you do speak to your sisters and say, what can I do? What advice? What is exciting? Now, obviously, it's not a public conversation. You know the friends, but there's a time and a place to even seek advice about situations like these. So if we're in Song of Songs, in chapter 7, verse 11 to 13, she invites him away. In fact, in chapter 1, verse 4, she says, "Take me away with you. Let us hurry. Let the king bring me into his chamber." She's like, "Come on, king, let's hurry, let's go." She's initiating this invitation. 2 verse 17, she invites him to be energetic and graceful and enthusiastic. She's telling him what she wants him to do. Chapter 4, verse 16, now from warm to hot, she says that we've got to make sure that our invitations is with the whole body. It's not good enough just words, but there's no preparation. There's nothing special. So that's why we're discussing the full five senses, so that we will be able to pick from all of these and make sure we incorporate that in our intimate relationships. Now, there's so many, but I think talking about words of invitation, I think for many women, that's probably one of our bigger struggles. And maybe it's a reverse in your marriage, it could be the men. So I hope that helps too. Amen.
Just another point. Song of Songs is a descriptive book. It's not a prescriptive book. Does that make sense? I'm not putting pressure. This class is not putting pressure on the woman. We're telling you, what does God allow? Okay? Does that make sense? I see some of the husbands doing this. Don't say, "This is what the Bible says, therefore you've got to do it." If both are not okay with it, it's a no-no. Okay, we're going to talk about some specifics later on. Words of intention. I mean, this woman and this wife and husband, they don't just invite. They use words of intention. "This is what I want to do with you later on." Okay? Without us, they didn't have cell phones or emails. Imagine what we can do today. Describing instead of just getting into the bed when all the lights are off and all the kids are sleeping. We need to use words of satisfaction. For so many of us, I know what the natural thing to do is you roll over and you fall asleep afterwards, right? And there's no "thank you" or words of satisfaction. We don't have time to give you all those words, okay? Maybe we should have handed every person a dictionary or something. I know there's a website that you can register and they can send you words. You can say, "What kind of words?" Duncan, can you remember? John Louis gave us that website, eh? Okay, you can see. Yeah, afterwards. The other thing, I think oftentimes what men do is they want every experience to be the best ever. Am I right, sisters? And if it's not, he just grumbles and moans and complains and he's not happy and... You've got a lifetime to perfect this. A lifetime. I really believe that this aspect of our lives in the kingdom of God gets better and better as you get older. Because we become more like God. Okay? Don't expect every time to be perfect. It's fine if it doesn't work out completely. Number two. The sight of love. In chapter 1, verse 15 and 16, it says, the lover says, "How beautiful you are, my darling. Oh, how beautiful. Your eyes are doves." And then she replies, says, "How handsome you are, my lover. Oh, how charming. And our bed is verdant." These two feast their eyes on one another. Marriage is not a commitment that has an expiry warranty or a trade-in clause. Right? You didn't get married and say, "Honey, if you pick up so much weight, then this is going to be the consequences." Or when there's so many wrinkles or so many gray hair. No! You married for better or for worse, richer or poorer, wrinkles or no hair. She says, "Oh, beautiful you are, my darling. There is no flaw in you." Now, we cannot all be married to Miss Universe or Mr. Universe. But the reason why you married your spouse was because there was a physical attraction. And if we have spiritual marriages, your spouse should still be the most beautiful or handsome guy in the world. It's a decision you make. But when you're comparing and you're looking at all these other perfect bodies, your spouse cannot compare to that. What is it? Can you remember? What is it about your spouse that got your attention the first time? I remember one of our first dates. I went to pick up Anna Marie, and it was December. I think it was summertime in Cape Town. And she came walking down the steps, and she had these long brown tanned legs. And I said, wow, how can I go wrong with that? The sight of love is crucial in the marriage. In chapter 2, verse 14, it says, my dove in the clefts of the rock, in the hiding places of the mountainside, show me your face. They feast their eyes on one another from both ends, both sides. Of course, it gets more heated and more specific. He's describing right there the most intimate part of his wife, body parts of his wife. And the Bible mentions them, okay? Our bodies do not belong to us. We are one flesh when we get married. Now, for some men, you know, when you give somebody a gift, you can either just buy it, and it's even if it's expensive, you give it. But what makes a gift special is the wrapping. Right? And sometimes, sisters, you ask me, no, it's not one of you to just lie there naked and ready to go. We lived in this such a rush time, and we think about, you know, and as you prepare or think about it, you think about what is the next thing you need to go to or do. And it's nice to unwrap the gift. You understand what I'm saying? Preach it, brother. Sometimes women, the first thing you do is you switch off all the lights and then you get undressed in the dark. That's almost useless. They want to see you because if they see you do it, they don't have to go look at someone else do it. If you need to do something to improve your body, do it. Okay? We speak about that often. You know, I enjoy Anna Marie running and going to the gym, and she enjoys me trying to stay in shape. Of course, as the older you get, the harder that becomes. But I'm doing it for my wife, and she for me. Don't be overcritical. It's fine. We're getting older. We're supposed to not look as we looked 20 years ago. Otherwise, there's something wrong, or you're paying someone a lot of money. Men, we need to take care of ourselves. Not just in terms of weight, but in terms of grooming and what we dress and our hygiene, okay? Amen, sisters? Amen. A lot of times, you'll see tonight, the sisters come to the party and they've made a lot of effort. And the men just come in their jeans and... Okay, tonight, obviously, there's a theme to it, but... So oftentimes, the women, like, they're going to a banquet and the husband looks like he's going to watch the rugby. Husbands, listen to your wives. They've been telling you, get a different outfit. Your teenagers have been telling you, change your outfit. And you say, but man, I like this. I've always had it. It's my favorite shirt. We got to stay active, alive, and vibrant. Our bodies are a gift from God and a temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is important to live longer and be there for our families, not just leave behind a bank account. Amen? Can I add anything there? It's not elegant anymore. Okay, let's talk about a little bit about clothing. In chapter 4, verse 1, it says, how beautiful you are, my darling. Oh, how beautiful. Your eyes behind your veil are doves. Your hair is like the flock of goats descending from Mount Gilead. And it goes on. I mean, beauty concealed can be as exciting as beauty revealed. Remember the effort you made when you were single? Guys, you even took the deodorant with you in the car to make sure you smelled good, right? Now sometimes we can go on a date and you don't even use the deodorant. Well, I'm married, she's not going to leave me anyway. And we don't make effort on dates. Husbands must sensitively also provide in the budget for the wives. Your wife is not, she doesn't just get up every morning and looks beautiful. Okay? Sometimes it takes, and women need more money than men. Husbands, for some of us, you get what you pay for. Wives, some of you need to get rid of that long gown that goes down to your toes that you inherited from your grandmom. Husbands, it's time to get rid of that boxing shorts or old soccer shorts with the ventilation gaps. Yes, we can overdo it. And overspend and become worldly. There's always two sides of the coin. Men sometimes enjoy the rearranging the makeup, right? What do some women do? Before they get into bed, they take off all the makeup. Right? With, what do you call it? Makeup remover. The most beautiful woman went into the bathroom and...
Amen. Not every point is from our own house, okay, but some are. Okay, I'm done. Amen. Another part of sight is also environment. We spoke previously about chapter 1, verse 4 and verse 16, where verse 16 says, "How handsome you are, my love. Oh, how charming, and our bed is verdant." What does your bedroom look like? Amen, sister. If we had to do a house check this morning, we went straight into your bedroom now. For many of us, sadly, that is the room in the house that is the most neglected because the guests don't get to see. So we decorate the lounge and the TV room, wherever the public space is. We spend money there. We make sure it looks good. And then our bedroom, sadly, becomes a terrible storeroom. Some of us, there's toys in your bedroom. My goodness, what are toys doing in a parent's bedroom? There's toys, there's boxes, there's clothes everywhere. It's just terrible. And we've got to ask ourselves, that sight, is it really, really enhancing our intimacy right now, just walking into that bedroom? Papers, toys. Some of us, we've got TVs in the bedroom. What a terrible, sad distraction at too many a time. Maybe consider getting it out. Having a computer. It's not an office space. What is the office doing? A bedroom should be a place of rest and romance. And if that computer sends a note while you're there, it distracts either one of the two. Okay? So think about the content of your bedroom. Think about how this is stimulating the sense of sight. That seeing this definitely makes it encouraging. It really, for some of us, that's still where your old trophies and your medals are hanging all over the place and everything you've achieved. Take it down and put great stuff that really appeals to both. It's not a trophy room. It should be romance. It should be the place where you do want to go and invest spending time, where you can both relax. So the smell of your bedroom, the look of your bedroom, the feel of your bedroom, is that already creating an environment that if one of the two is tired or not in the mood, the bedroom already helps. Some of the site is tempted already. So yes, a good bed would also be a good investment. Some of us can, some of us can't. Then you make the best of the bed you have. But if you're able to, that might be a good investment, is a good bed. I just think we need to do our best at our choice of linen. Just whatever within your budget is doable. Don't spend everything on the big TV and the lounge when the bedroom is crying out saying, this is where we want to spend our special time.
Okay, so we've talked about sight, we've talked about sounds, and now we're talking about smell, the smell of love. In chapter 1, verse 3, it says, pleasing is the fragrance of your perfume. Your name is like perfume poured out. No wonder the maidens love you. This might possibly just open your noses. Go, go, go. No, no. God gave us the ability to smell, right? Amen? This just might be the secret weapon to a stale physical relationship. In chapter 4, verse 10, it says, how delightful is your love, my sister, my bride. How much more pleasing is your love than wine, and the fragrance of your perfume than any spice. The fragrance of your spouse and your surroundings makes a difference. What does your room smell like? Old underwear? Dirty socks next to the bed. What do you smell like? This couple used aroma wisely and generously. They were willing to invest money to smell good. They perfumed their bed, their garments, and their bodies. In fact, the Bible describes how they would, before they would get together, prepare their bodies. Okay? To smell good and taste good. They carefully prepared their most intimate areas for one another. It's in the Bible. Okay? Not on the TV. On the Bible, in the Bible. If you love life, if your love life has become stale and routine, this might just be one of the missing links. A fresh breeze of cleanliness, care, and fragrance will help you. In chapter 1, verse 12, he says, while the king was at his table, my perfume spread its fragrance. There was a purpose. The purpose of dinner that night was not to eat. My lover is to me a sachet of myrrh resting between my breasts, is what the woman says in the Bible. Who ever thought the Bible is boring? She used her perfume to arouse his interest. Even if he was still worrying about the job or the company, she planned it. She planned it. My lover is to me a sachet of myrrh, she says. Remember that smell and sight usually go hand in hand. Something can look great, but if you get closer and it doesn't smell good, it's a turn off, right? So we've got to make sure both is great. Some men think that cologne or aftershave or deodorant is either a luxury or for sissies. I'm a man. My sweat smells good. Find out what your spouse likes. What kind of flavors do they like? Sometimes you spend a lot of money and that just causes her to have allergic reactions. And this also tells your spouse that you have been thinking about him or her before the time. Right? Am I right? Bad odors are a real turnoff. This can be the difference between more sexual interest to full erotic arousal.
How many of us know what pheromone is? Okay, some, more in the medical field especially. There's a new trend in Los Angeles. They have pheromone parties. In order to come to this party, you have to buy a white T-shirt. Then you have to sleep in this white T-shirt 3 nights in a row. You're not allowed to use deodorant or anything to make your body smell good. So your body smell needs to cling to this white T-shirt. Then you go to the party on day 4 with your worn, dirty white T-shirt. Put it in a see-through plastic bag. It gets sealed. If you're female, it's got a pink ribbon. If you're male, it's got a blue ribbon. Then you get a number on your bag. Only you have the number and the bag has the number. Now all the bags gone, lots of tables. Then the partygoers come in, open the bags and smell each bag. And so smelling, and then according to the smell that hits you, you take that bag, you go to the photographer, stand at the wall with a picture, with the bag in front showing the number. The photographer take a picture of you with this number of the bag that you smelled and liked. Then your photograph goes up on the wall. And then as the night mingles, now if my bag was there, I go to the wall of photographs. I looked at all the people holding my number, and then I choose who I want to approach. But the whole party is based on smell. Somebody's old T-shirt being smelling. Okay? Pheromone is a hormone that our bodies give off. And there's really two specific places. I know sometimes you think, I wonder why God made mosquitoes, because they're so annoying. And there's some things we just don't completely understand their purpose. And bear with me, because I don't know, it's uncomfortable for some, but for some of us, that's the question about pubic hair. Like, what's the point? What's the purpose? So I know some women go for Brazilian wax, okay? If you don't know what it is, obviously your wife hasn't gone, it's okay. I know some of our cultures here, it is customary for the wife to shave the husband completely, so no hair for your intimacy. So what you've got to understand is the body, the hormones need that hair because their sweat glands, that the follicles and the hormone mix with each other, and it gives off a specific smell that might not smell good to yourself, but it's very attractive for your spouse sexually. And so it's like bees going to the flower where they find this smell. So you do need every part of the body. There was on the radio this week speaking about the Amazon, how they're clearing away a lot of the forest. And because of that, there's over 100 species of birds dying out. So the lesson is, if we clear away too much of the forest, we might rob some of the people who might need the smell. So if you do go for... if you go for a Brazilian wax, I would suggest you've got two options. Either you leave a little fringe for sister down there, so, or you grow your underarm hairs. You've got an option, but your body does need, because that smell is part of intimacy, and it does definitely attract your spouse. Amen.
Arujo, how's the translation going there? Okay. Rebellious crowd. This couple used fragrances on their garments, their beds, at the dinner table, a column of smoke the Bible talks about, a mountain of myrrh, their lips with sweetness, fresh breath, lips like, his lips were dripping like lilies, her breast had a scent of apples, Their bodies all over smelled good. In fact, the Bible talks in chapter 4, verse 16 about her garden that she prepared is not the vegetable garden or the fruit garden or the, what is kraya? The herb garden. We'll talk about that in just a sec. Okay, the next one is taste. Okay, sight is good, smell is good. What was the other one? Sound is good. But there's something different about taste. It's the only one that needs, that no one else can enjoy. Someone else sees your husband, hears your wife, can even touch and smell, but taste is something special. Okay? At the end of the class, one of the things you'll get, and this become we like the Oprah show, instead of under your seats, at the back, you'll get a small chocolate for every couple, right? One per person. And that's not just to be nice or polite or we had too much money or something. Chocolate is a... We have a few educated people here. It's an aphrodisiac. So after this class, maybe some of you guys are not going to have lunch. That's fine. We might not see you in the afternoon classes. Chapter 4, verse 11, the Bible says, your lips drop sweetness as a honeycomb, my bride. Milk and honey are under your tongue. The fragrance of your garments is like that of Lebanon. Taste is the most intimate, personal, private of all five senses. In verse 16, he says, awake, north wind, come and come, south wind, blow on my garden, she says, that its fragrance may spread abroad. Let my lover come into his garden and taste its choice fruits. Chapter 7. We wanted. I'm into video clips, but this is one class where you can't show video clips. In chapter 7, verse 8, he says, I will climb the palm tree, not the one in the garden, okay? I will take hold of its fruit. May your breast be like the cluster of the vine, the fragrance of your breath like apples, and your mouth like the best wine. To taste something, you have to open your mouth. You have to use the part of your body that has the ability to taste something. It's called your... Taste is completely vulnerable. It is preceded by a decision of permission. This is the only sense reserved only for your spouse. Nobody else gets to taste your body like your spouse should or could. This is a special gift and provides unique rewards. Taste is a matter of taste. It's not a command, husbands. It's a matter of taste and permission. These flavors are all mentioned here. Fruit, raisins, apples, pomegranate. You know, you can buy pomegranate juice in the shops now. You can buy pomegranate cream. Biblical cream. They use spices, milk, wine, honey. They started with a romantic dinner and this turned into flirting and kissing. They both enjoyed kissing each other. They longed for it. They expressed it to one another. It was deep, passionate, intimate, and it prolonged. Not just like that. It involved exploring and tasting each other with their tongues. Kissing involves all senses. Touch, taste, smell, sight, and sounds. And that's why it is wrong for singles to be French kissing. It's you're playing with fire. We should be playing with it, not them, okay? Kissing is a way of remaining close throughout the day, not just in the bed. It's a way to begin your day and a way to close your day. It should be continuous. It can go on through time of intimacy. And of course, a way of saying how much you appreciated your time together. Are you ready for the next level? The garden. Okay? The Bible talks about, she prepares her garden for her husband. Most scholars, Dave, I've done my DBA research on this. Most scholars agree that the garden is the most sensitive, vulnerable part of the wife's body. The garden or fountain is a pure and natural way to describe what the world really completely degrades. The Bible uses amazing words that we should be using in our marriages. Okay? These descriptions are more attractive than what we sometimes use and are used to. And sometimes we don't talk about each other's body parts because the only words we have is what we learn in the world. And God says, the Bible is the Word of God. It's God knows how to describe this a lot better than the world. We're either afraid or just flippant about it. The wife decides to open her garden to her husband to enjoy and to taste it. Not much more detail that we can say about that. That's pretty descriptive, right? God made us, and it is in our sexual intimacy that this all becomes practical. It's time for us to claim this gift. Some of us, you've been married a long time. And for some of you guys, you still have the same patterns that you learned in the world that you bring into the marriage. Throw off the false modesty and the false beliefs, the boring routine, the mechanical way of doing it the way you've been doing it for the last 10 years. Don't look for new positions on the internet. Open your Bible. Remember that taste is different, and taste also changes over the years. Hallelujah. Amen, right? You've got a lifetime to explore. Allow your taste to change as you grow and you mature. Do not be afraid or get stuck in the way you've always done it. We have the freedom from God to enjoy all the fruits. Amen? Okay. Last one, touch. Part of the chocolate you can grab is a little bottle of well thought through, handmade, blended, after lots of research, oil. That's not for your car or for the kitchen. And the feather tied to the oil, bottle of oil, is not for decorative purposes. In chapter 2, verse 6, the Bible says, his left arm is under my head and his right arm embraces me. My lover is mine and I am his. He browses among the lilies. You technical IT guys all know what browse mean, right? We browse the internet, right? To look for what you are really looking for. It takes time. Be patient to find the best website or article, right? Am I right? Or are you guys not into IT? He was browsing through her garden to find the best fruits. Laugh, man. Don't try and be holy now. Touch is not, we don't just touch with our hands. We can touch with every part of our bodies. Right? God created our bodies with millions of nerve endings all over. Not just on your hands. Right? This ultimately provides the sexual arousal, stimulation, and pleasure. This is the glory, the goal, and the greatness of our sexual relationship. When all five senses that God has created us with are combined, we can have the ultimate pleasure. Our bodies are covered with these nerve endings. For a husband and a wife to fully enjoy each other takes a lifetime of discovery. In Proverbs 5, the Bible says, may your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. A loving doe, a graceful deer, may her breast satisfy you always and beyond the time where you have grandchildren. May you ever be captivated by her love. What a great book God has given us, called the Bible. In chapter 1, verse 3, he says, pleasing is the fragrance of your perfumes. Your name is like perfume poured out. No wonder the maidens love you. Both parties used different fragrances and different oils and creams. That's fine. It doesn't talk about sex toys. Okay? Some of us go to the worldly side to improve our sex life. Just use what the Bible says, and I promise you, it will be better than ever before. Oil serves a dual purpose. It's fragrance. It smells good. Right? And it improves touch. Touching can be highly sensitive. They are highly sensitive areas of our bodies. And it can be very uncomfortable and irritating, especially for the woman. For the men as well, at times, right? I know you guys are already planning. Are you writing your plan on your wife's notes there? They touched, caressed, and fondled one another. It helps if we are relaxed and comfortable. Maybe for some of us, the last time you had some romantic music was when someone planned it in your honeymoon room for you. Use it. Music is awesome. It helps if we are relaxed, if we are comfortable. Some nerve endings need to be stimulated, while others need to relax. Get rid of anxiety and stress and tension. And sometimes the physical relation is a very good stress reliever. Something John Muir taught me when we just got married. Touching should not just be in bed. How often do you touch one another? With no alternative motives. Husbands, we need to slowly progress. Women need emotional closeness, and women will enjoy it a lot more if we add in all five senses. Men usually go straight for the kill. And that's a killer. Hold hands, sit closer. Shoulder massages, touching each other's arms, stroke her hair. Don't jump from zero to the speed of light. There is a place in a spiritual marriage where you are close and you've invested in your relationship for the quickie. But your marriage cannot survive on quickies. Amen.
Just a footnote on the oil. I've blended 5 different oils in there, and some of them are essential oils. So if you are pregnant or think you're pregnant, please don't use the oil at this stage. Wait until the baby's born. But there's a little bottle of oil at the back, 1 per married couple. So please only take 1, and then there's 2 chocolates. It's a small bottle because you're not going to the spa around the corner and they ka-cha, 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 and you rub, okay? This is a blended sensual massage oil, okay? So what you can deal, that's how much you massage. Okay, no. There's little bits needed. Earlobes is a good place. Here is a good place. Just under the arms, here at the back of the knee is a good place. Small little places on the bum, on the back, for the woman on the nipple. So small places, using the massage oil, however you see. So the reason why it's small is so that you don't have to rub all over and think, oh, one night it's all gone. That bottle can last you longer. But please feel free to take one, and thank you, Amy.
Can someone else please close out with a prayer? It's lunchtime now, right? Have lunch wherever you want to have lunch. Let's pray for the food and the fruit. Okay, let's pray. Holy God and Father, we are so grateful that we serve such an amazing God. A God that has thought about everything. A God that created us with so much care and so much detail. Thank you, God, so much for your word. This is just an amazing book that has so many answers for so many of our problems. And I pray, God, today we will have a deeper appreciation and conviction that your words are like living waters. that your word can change our marriages in more than what we ever thought about. I pray that we'll have conviction to put these scriptures into practice and that we can claim the gift, understanding that sex is better inside the kingdom than in the world. Sex is better inside a faithful marriage than anywhere else. We love you. We thank you for your love for us. In Jesus' name, amen.